Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. And I do hope that these, 9 passages of Scripture tonight take about a minute apiece. Thank you. Thank you for the laughter. I appreciate that. I can do it. No, I can't. All right, Matthew chapter 10. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, the quantity is not important. The quality is what's important. Amen. I'm just going to read a few verses here, beginning in verse 26. Jesus, as we suppose, speaking here, says, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." I want to just kind of give you this thought tonight. We've talked about several aspects. But one of the things that with commitment that happens is we get a little bit uneasy about our commitment. And we begin to, if you will, fear, right? Fear is one of those natural things that creeps in, especially in the area of commitment. How many of you have made a commitment and you got into that commitment and you thought, oh no, what have I done? Huh? Right? And what starts to creep in? That fear. Hey, remember a guy named Peter? He sees this, they see this image out walking on the water, right? And he says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water and walk with you out there." Jesus says, "Yeah, come on." So Peter gets out of the boat. If that's not commitment, I don't know what commitment is. I mean, to get out of a fisherman that knows about boats and water gets out of the boat onto the water. Okay, this wasn't a mistake. All right. And so not only does he get out of the boat, get out onto the water, but he begins to walk to Jesus. That's fantastic. But then what happened? Yeah, the fear started creeping in. And so that's why we're talking about this particular subject. Hey, we handed out the faith promise cards. That can be a daunting commitment. You may have committed to more time in prayer this year. That can be a daunting commitment. You may have committed to spend more of your time out soul winning. And you may just find that, boy, I don't have any extra time to go out soul winning. And you make these commitments, and then things of this world try to creep in and cause fear in you to get you to quit or stop your commitment. Now think about this. How many of you have ever made a faith promise commitment and all of a sudden at the end of the month there's more month than money? And now you have to make a decision. Or maybe do you? Do I keep my commitment or not? See, that's where faith comes in. You understand that faith is supposed to triumph over fear. It's supposed to. But we have a hard time with that. So God wants us to not fear. At the beginning of this chapter in Matthew chapter 10, and the reason why I read this chapter to you, or part of it, was because Jesus is getting ready to send out his disciples. He wants them to go accomplish something for him. And he tells them exactly what to do. And he gives them all the different details. And you can read verses 5 down through verse 25. And you can see that he tells them exactly what's going to happen, exactly how it's going to go down, what they need to take with them, what they need to do if people receive them, what they need to do if people don't receive them. He goes through all the details with them, exactly what's going to happen. Now, how many of you tell me, can you tell me that that would make you feel a little bit more comfortable about what you're doing? Absolutely. We like to know what's going on. So he gets done through telling them all those things. And then he gets to verse 6 and he says, fear them not. And then later on in verse 28, he says, fear not them which kill the body. And then down later on, he tells them once again in verse 31, fear ye not therefore. And so he's trying to expel the fear that they experience that comes with commitment. And as we go out and do a work for the Lord, there are going to be things that creep into our lives, and we just need to not fear about it. We need to trust God that he is able to get us through that commitment. Here's something that I want you to consider. I'll just use this as an example since it's here. We ask you to consider what God would have you to do concerning faith promise giving. Okay? Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything with this particular commitment. All right? And I don't even take these and grab them every month, and I get the financial report, and I grab the cards, and I check off each person's name. No, I don't do that. Okay? Because it says here, this card is a promise to the Lord. It says, and I will not be contacted if I'm unable to keep this commitment. That's a true statement. I'm not going to contact you. I'm not going to tell you, oh, yeah, I got this on the list. You've missed 2 out of 3 payments to the church. Not a payment to the church. It's a commitment to the Lord. As we consider these things, we ought to consider what we're doing for the Lord. Why are we doing it? Are we doing it for the Lord? But we consider them, we think about it, but we ought to pray about what God would have us to do. You understand that Jesus was trying to encourage and to uplift his disciples. He got them to a place where he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Then guess what? The next chapter, who does he send into the harvest? Them. But he wanted them to pray. He wanted them to make a commitment. You understand that God wants us to go out and to preach the gospel to every creature. I didn't mention it earlier because I wanted to save it till now. We've had a wonderful time out on our week of soul winning so far. Monday we had 24 that went out on the bus and went soul winning, and we were able to see 6 people saved. Last night we had 20 people out on the bus out soul winning, and we were able to see 4 people saved. So what a great start to the week. And you know what? I haven't heard of any reports today, but maybe someone got to lead someone to the Lord today out in the highways and byways of life. That would be fantastic as well. I was able to give out a couple of tracts today, but nothing to write home about, if you will. But maybe you had an opportunity to talk to someone today about Jesus Christ. We ought to want to continue that commitment. Guess what? We'll have another opportunity tomorrow evening to make another commitment to the Lord to go out and to serve Him. And you know what? Don't fear about it. Don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. We ought to do these things for God with a sure mind. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? But of what? Love, power, and a sound mind. That's right. I'm just testing to see how well you know your verses. You did well, okay? Now, God wants us to be confident in our commitments to Him, whether they're financial commitments, whether they're commitments of time, whether they're commitments of talent. It doesn't matter what they are, time, talents, or treasure. Whatever commitments that we make, God wants us to do it in confidence, knowing that He will sustain us. All right? So if we're doing and making a decision about something that God wants, okay? God wants something from us. So what do we do then? We should trust in God to supply. Is God going to supply? He is. Okay, do we know how He's going to supply? No. Do we know when He's going to supply? No. But we know that God's going to supply. God's going to take care of our needs. He's going to take care of what we... because we've committed it to Him. But yet, over and over again, our personal human qualities try to interfere. Fear, fear, fear. Unsurety. Oh, I don't know if I can. Oh, I'm not... You know what? Yeah, no, you can't. You're right. But God can. And God will provide. Let me give you some examples in Scripture. And I'll be quick with these tonight. But remember a guy named Zacchaeus. The wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Okay, that's in the Greek definition. All right? He sought to see Jesus, and he could not for the press because he was of little, he was little of stature. Zacchaeus, he went up there, and Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw Zacchaeus. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You understand who Zacchaeus was. He was a tax collector. He was not favored among the people. All right? But yet he wanted to see Jesus. So you understand, he committed himself to see Jesus. And did he accomplish that commitment? I mean, he did. And when Jesus stopped right where he was and looked straight up, as I like to quote a preacher, that friend of mine that's passed on, in the God-given eyeballs. Brother Ron Garris used to say that all the time, Rock of Ages prison ministry. He looked him up in his eyes and he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Did Zacchaeus have to say yes? No. But he did. He got down, he received Jesus, and you understand that when he was there, all the people were murmuring and saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You understand that even Zacchaeus probably heard this murmuring. You know how uncomfortable he could have gotten? He could have backed out of all this, right? He could have run away from it, but he didn't. He stood up and he said to the Lord that he would give half of his goods to the poor, and if he had taken anything from any man by false accusation, he would restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I don't know what Zacchaeus did with the rest of his life. We're not told that information. But for Zacchaeus to be so bold as to stand up and to come up with this on his own. Jesus didn't ask him to do this. He made this declaration on his own. Let me ask you a question. When this was all done and Jesus left his house, what was Zacchaeus left with? This commitment. He told the Lord he'd give half of his goods to the poor. He told the Lord that he'd restore fourfold to anyone that he had cheated out of their money. So what did he have to do? Follow through. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Was she dedicated to get a hold of Jesus? She was. And when Jesus turned around and asked who it was that touched him, she could have just melted away into the crowd, couldn't she? But she didn't. She didn't fear what the people would say. She stood up and she admitted that it was her. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. You understand that Daniel and the three Hebrew children brought into captivity. They had some choices to make. Were they going to serve God? Or were they going to fall in line, if you will, and serve those heathen kings? Now, we don't have time to rehearse all the different things that happened to Daniel and to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But do you think they were successful in keeping their commitment to God? I sure do. Do you think that they had a lot to fear in all those circumstances? Absolutely. What did they do? Over and over again, they overcame those fears and kept their commitment to God. Remember a young man named Joseph? What about his life? Remember this passage in Genesis about Potiphar and his wife? How it came to pass that from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon him in all that he had, all that he had in the house and in the field, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. Sounds great, right? But guess what? When affliction came, Joseph had committed his life to the Lord. He was going to be who he was. He was going to follow his God. And when temptation came, what did Joseph do? He stayed true to God and let everything else fall where it may. He wasn't afraid of it. Oh, then by the way, once he was in the prison, remember the butler? He said he'd remember him. 2 years he forgot about him. Yeah. So you see, in our lives, folks, we can be successful. Remember Peter and John in Acts chapter 4? They were brought before the high priest. And they asked him about healing this man there in the courts of the temple, and they examined them, and they said, "Look, you are no longer going to be allowed to preach and teach in the name of Jesus Christ." And they said, "Well, you know what? Well, let me just read it for you." What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people.
For all men glorified God for that which was done. You understand that we have to make choices. They could have feared being beaten. They could have feared being thrown into prison or their lives being taken. But they chose to continue to preach Jesus Christ. If you will, they chose to obey God rather than man. But that's what we have to overcome if we're going to be successful with our commitments. Do you understand that we make commitments every day? And we, if you will, we break commitments every day. Why is that? It's really because of fear in one shape of it or another. But we've got to stay true to our commitments to God. Back in our text, Jesus says to them, "Fear not them which kill the body and are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We ought to be more, quote unquote, scared of God than we are scared of what man can do to us. Does that make sense to you? And I'm not telling you to cower in fear of God, but understand what God can do. What can God do in your life? What can God do in my life? Can he take us whenever he wants? Yes, he can. So why wouldn't we give credence to following commitments with him? Then rather than getting rid of our commitments and following after, oh, well, I don't want to offend this person or I don't want to face this persecution. And we give up on our commitments. We can't afford to do that. Jesus was just trying to encourage his disciples to continue on for the Lord, to not fear the things of this world, but rather to have the reverence and fear and respect of God, that God is in control, and rest in that care. God wants us to live a committed life.